Welcome to In Your Corner, a program designed with you in mind. The Christian life is a fight, and we want you to know that we're in your corner. God the Father loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for you, and has given his Holy Spirit to guide you and to keep you, and has given you people like myself in the body of Christ to help shepherd you along. Yes, we're in your corner. And the Bible says, if God be for us, then who then can be against us? We're here to help you get your day started with song, scripture, and prayer. Because we're going to beat the devil, we got to get filled with the Spirit of God. Then we got to get dressed up with the Word of God. Then we got to get prayed up with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to Almighty God. Yes, we're in your corner. So go wake up your sister. Go wake up your brother. Go wake up your niece. Go wake up your nephew. Go wake up your mommy. Go wake up your daddy. Go wake up grandmama and granddaddy, and let them know that In Your Corner is on the air. All right, go wake them up now. We're beaming the love of God from the Dallas-Fort Worth area and throughout the known world, wherever the internet radio can be heard. All right, go wake them up now. Wake them up. Get them out the bed, sleepy head. Get out the bed, sleepy head. Let me go crank this bus up. Let me go. I want to go and pick up some cities this morning. Let me start on the East Coast this morning. Let me start over there in Rochester, New York. New York, New York. Let me go to New Jersey, Jersey City, New Jersey. All right, all right. Let me go on down to Baltimore. Baltimore, are you in the house, Baltimore? Lexington, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky. All right, all right. Let me go on over to Champaign, Illinois now. Bloomington, Indiana. All right, all right. Detroit, Michigan, Cleveland, Ohio. Are you in the house, Cleveland, Ohio? All right, let me go out here and get a song. Let me go get a good song this morning. I need to go get a good song this morning. This is a good song by the Staple Singer, saying, "Let me ride." Back in the day, that's what they had. They had some good folks that can play guitars.
Swing down, church, stop it. Let me ride.
That's the staple singles, ladies and gentlemen. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. That's how they used to do it. That was, did y'all hear old Pop Staples there playing that guitar and his three daughters? Amen. With their little tambourines and what have you. All they bongo drums and what? Oh, that's how they used to do it. All right. That's your song for the day. Time to read the Bible. Go get your Bible. We're going to be reading out of Acts chapter 27 through Romans chapter 1. Acts chapter 27, going on over to Romans chapter 1. Reading along this morning with the Bible Experience.
When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded a ship from Adramidium about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so they might provide for his needs. From there we put out to sea again and passed to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra and Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Nidus. When the wind did not allow us to hold our course, we sailed to the lee of Crete, opposite Salmone. We moved along the coast with difficulty and came to a place called Fair Havens, near the town of Lacia. Much time had been lost, and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the Day of Atonement. So Paul warned them,
"Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo, and to our own lives also."
But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. When a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of a small island called Cauda, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men hoisted it aboard. Then they passed ropes under the ship itself to hold it together. Because they were afraid they would run aground on the sandbars of Syrtis, they lowered the sea anchor and let the ship be driven along. We took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw the cargo overboard. On the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard with their own hands. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said,
"Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God whose I am and whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'"
On the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea, when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings again and found it was 90 feet deep. Fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. In an attempt to escape from the ship, The sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers,
"Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved."
So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat.
"For the last 14 days, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head."
After he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food themselves. Altogether, there were 276 of us on board. When they had eaten as much as they wanted, they lightened the ship by throwing the grain into the sea. When daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach, where they decided to run the ship aground if they could. Cutting loose the anchors, they left them in the sea and at the same time untied the ropes that held the rudders. Then they hoisted the foresail to the wind and made for the beach. But the ship struck a sandbar and ran aground. The bow struck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken to pieces by the pounding of the surf. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners to prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on other pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land safely. Once safely on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood and, as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other,
"This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live."
But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generous hospitality for 3 days. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after prayer, placed his hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. After 3 months, we put out to sea in a ship that had wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods Castor and Pollux. We put in at Syracuse and stayed there 3 days. From there, we set sail and arrived at Rhegium. The next day, the south wind came up, and on the following day, we reached Puteoli. There we found some believers who invited us to spend a week with them, and so we came to Rome. The believers there had heard that we were coming, and they traveled as far as the Forum of Appius and the Three Taverns to meet us. At the sight of these people, Paul thanked God and was encouraged. When we got to Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself, with a soldier to guard him. 3 days later, he called together the local Jewish leaders. When they had assembled, Paul said to them,
"My brothers, although I have done nothing against our people or against the customs of our ancestors, I was arrested in Jerusalem and handed over to the Romans. They examined me and wanted to release me because I was not guilty of any crime deserving death. The Jews objected, so I was compelled to make an appeal to Caesar. I certainly did not intend to bring any charge against my own people. For this reason, I have asked to see you and talk with you. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain."
They replied, We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of our people who have come from there has reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect.
They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. And from the law of Moses and from the prophets, he tried to persuade them about Jesus. Some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement.
The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your ancestors when he said through Isaiah the prophet, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn. And I would heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen."
For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance.
The Book of Romans.
Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to faith and obedience for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be opened for me to come to you. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith." The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of human beings who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind, so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them.
All right. That was our scripture reading for today. We read out of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 27 through Romans chapter 1. May God bless those who have heard and who read His holy word this morning. All right, y'all. It's prayer time. It's prayer time. Y'all know how we do it. You know how we do it. We make our circle. We make our family circle. Come on, y'all. Come on, daddy, mama, son, daughter, sister, brother. Come on, y'all hold hands. Come on. Come on now. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on, let's hold hands, bow your head. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are. The God who hears and you still answer prayers. Lord, we thank you, dear God, that you have brought us a mighty long ways. You brought us through some hills and valleys. You brought us through some storms and rains. You brought us through some heartaches and pain. Lord, we even thank you that you brought us to the close of another week. You brought us, Lord, from Monday all the way to Friday. And we thank you, dear God. Thank you, dear God, how you protect us on our jobs and how you was with us, dear God, this week on our jobs. And you kept the death angel away from us, and we just thank you, dear God. Now, Lord, we are getting ready now for the weekend. Lord, we want to pray that everybody will have a safe weekend, dear God, as they are trying to get some things done around the house. They washing, cleaning, dear God, shopping, Lord, fixing whatever they need to fix. Lord, we ask that you'll just protect them and help them, dear God. Lord, we pray those that's going to be in funerals and having going through time of bereavement, Lord, we pray that you'll just be with them, help them, dear God, as they make journeys to the funeral services. We pray that they'll have a safe journey there and a safe return. Lord, we even pray about Sunday morning worship. Lord, we pray you'll bring that prodigal son, bring that prodigal daughter back here to church on Sunday morning. Bring them to you, dear God. We pray that they will come to you and they will repent of their sin, just like that prodigal son in the Bible did. And Lord, we just pray that you'll touch every minister's heart that's going to be preaching this Sunday morning, every pastor, dear God. Bring all your people there to church on this Sunday morning. Bring that backslider back to church and bring them back to you. on this Sunday morning, dear God. And Lord, we pray that you'll save the lost, encourage the saved, and rescue backsliders. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it, that's it, that's it. We done sung our song, we done had our scripture, and we done prayed our prayers. Clock on the wall said that's all for this portion of In Your Corner. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so kindly for getting up early this morning. Thank y'all for catching that old vibe of bus. Now, y'all stay on the bus now, stay on the bus. Listen, listen, I tell them all the time here at my church, listen, we're not just having church. We're going somewhere. Yeah, we're going somewhere, y'all. So stay on the bus now. Stay on the bus. We're going to get you there. We're going to get you there. And I want everybody to sit down. Take a good seat now. Amen. Amen. Stay on this KLITB bus, all right? All right? Now, let me encourage you to stay with us the rest of the day. Remember our format here at KLITB. At the top of the hour, we minister in the word. And at the bottom of the hour, we minister in the mix. That's music and a whole lot more. Now get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready for that early morning sermon. Oh, we have some early workers. They got to go to work early. And they say, Pastor, we just love it that you putting on that early morning sermon. Oh, yeah, the early bird catch the worm. Yes, yes. And then at 7 o'clock, I'll be back with Ghostbusters because we got some strange things happening in the neighborhood. Somebody needs to say something about it. Then at 8 o'clock, I'll be back again in the situation room where I give you a Christian response to the issues of our day. Yes, yes, yes. Then at 9 o'clock, we're going to take a look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a sermon I preach right here at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. Listen, listen, listen. If you ever come in this Dallas-Fort Worth area, you just gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta, you gotta stop by Bible Way and worship the Lord with us. Now listen, listen, let me warn you. If you stop by this church and worship with us, you're gonna enjoy yourself. Now don't say I didn't warn you. You're gonna enjoy yourself, and it's like some good food. You're gonna wanna come back for more. Yes, you are. Oh, yes. And then at 10 o'clock, that's time for a program called Unshackled. It's a radio drama, real live people. Make your face yourself and think. Then at 11 o'clock, we're going to take a deeper look in the book. I'll let you listen to a portion of a Wednesday night Bible study. We have folks who are not even members of our church, but they love our Wednesday night Bible study. Then at 12 o'clock, miss any of these programs, guess what? We begin to rebroadcast them. So listen to us all day long. Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell a co-worker about us, because we are in your corner.